welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. This happens to be, ladies and gentlemen, show number 142 this January 3rd, a new year, 2006. Good to have you with us today. And we're recording as we speak at the Little Ranch House Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. For the next hour, we're going to be talking to Dale Campbell. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's the right back at you.
Thank you very much.
Our host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, none other than Young Don Shaw. And I say young.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't go quite. Wouldn't go that far. Might be stretching it just a bit.
A little bit older, Don Patterson.
Yeah, a year older. What are you talking about? Hey, Dale. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Don.
I'm a little bit older, too. My name's Tom Houston, but here he is, folks, the creator and producer of the Blind Handyman
and the oldest one of the entire.
And the oldest guy in the group, Bill Parr.
Well, what a deal.
It's good. We're all in our faces. You can turn Dale's trim down just a little bit.
Okay.
I think you'll be all right. I think he's a little louder. We're all in our faces with places with bright, shiny faces. Dale Campbell is here. Dale Campbell,
I don't feel near as old as I did today. As I did New Year's Day.
Sunday, I damn near died. I thought death was near. Luann won't take me to the emergency room. I'd have gone if I hadn't known what caused it.
Wow.
It was rough. New Year's Eve. I mean, Houston and Patterson both went to bed before the new year came. They, both smart.
Yeah. I wish we would have.
I wish I had. I don't know about you, but man.
Well, I had to cook. I had to cook, Dale.
Well, in handyman terms, you can believe this, I went to bed early because the next day I had a man that came to my house and taped and floated my garage, and I could not believe I found a man that would work on New Year's Day.
Dedicated, man.
And so I figured the least I could do would be to curtail my activities to be with him,
Yeah, well. I wish I'd curtail mine. It was.
We used to have an old saying back before, back when I could see, and are your eyes hurting you? Well, they're killing me.
It was rough. Don't roll those bloodshot eyes at me.
Yeah.
I can tell you've been out.
Boy, somebody held me down, put a funnel in my mouth, and just continued to pour bottle after bottle down me.
Me and Jim Daniels got next to one another. I know him well enough to call him Jim. A lot of folks call him Jack, but I know him so well.
I'm not allowed to talk to Jim anymore because he riled up, gets me into some...
It was rough sledding. And I woke up, I felt pretty good. Luann had sausage and toast and eggs ready, and I ate, and I thought, no, there's nothing to it. Boy, in about an hour, my God, I don't know what happened. But anyways, I just laid in my chair and moaned all day. Luann said, if I was laying in my chair moaning, you'd take me to the emergency room. And I just said, shut up, without thinking. And, of course, she hadn't spoken to me since. So, anyway...
that's what we really need.
That'll usually get you an iron skillet upside
down. She left me alone from then on, but I had to have some relief. Shoot up here among us. One of us has got to die.
That's what we need is a concoction that would get you over the hangover.
Well, they say there is nothing. Nothing will do you hangover. I'll tell you what's supposed to do it, but I can have the nerve to do it. Usually a straight shot of brandy, a good one, will usually do pretty good. But I just didn't have the strength to go to the bar and do it.
We must have watched the same, I think, Channel 13 or one of the news thing did. What's the cure for overindulging?
Yeah,
and
they said
there's really nothing that's ever been proven to really work.
Yeah, that really works.
I think everybody has their own little ways to heal themselves. For me, it's not Mexican food, but not the Mexican food, the chips and salsa.
Yeah,
for me, it's,
if I can get some salsa and stuff, then I'm good to go for a while.
If I've been drinking beer, it's just more of the same. If you can get the first one down,
the hair of the dog that bit
you.
The first one down.
Well,
Kelsey would say the hair of the dog.
Sunday night, last night my father-in-law came over, and I had a little drink with him, but I actually felt better after it's a little indulgent.
I've been drying out.
we don't like to use that term.
That's a term we don't use here on the show. Well, it's good to have you. It's good that we all survived New Year's Eve. We played a little music, and where'd you go? You went out somewhere, Dale?
Yeah, we went. Our neighbors had a little party, the Russian Connection. So we went over and did that, and then we took off with some other friends of ours from the boat club and went and tried to watch the fireworks on Clear Lake, but it was foggy.
Yeah.
So they couldn't see him either. So I'm like, hey, welcome to my world.
Well, are any of these folks still speaking to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah, I think they are.
Good.
I don't remember doing anything I shouldn't have done, but
I don't remember much after.
Back over some friends of ours, and they've got like a heated pool, so we were swimming the New Year in.
Yeah. Man. But,
all right. Well, what are we going to cook today? What do you have in mind?
Part of our meal is already cooking. I picked up some real nice salmon fillets. We've got four of those on the smoker.
Yeah.
And when we go to break here, we'll all run out and kind of check them and probably pull them off. I put them on they've been on about 3 hours, which is going to be plenty. I checked them about 2 hours in to see how flaky they were.
Uh-huh.
And they were flaking okay, but I let them go just a little bit longer.
Yeah.
More smoked salmon flavor to them.
Figure out when they're done.
Dale,
they are ready.
Are you using an electric smoker or charcoal?
I'm using the old electric smoker.
Okay.
I've soaked the wood chips and I have used beer cans, actually, that I've cut open to put my wood chips in to put down in the bottom of the smoker.
Okay, I got your point.
Where the rocks and, you know, it's got the rocks from, like, a gas grill, and then it's got a heating element, much like you'd find in an oven or
a hot water heater or whatever.
Yeah, and then the water pan sits on the part of the smoker above that.
Okay.
And, of course, the food on top of that.
Well, so are the wood chips in the beer cans, but are they actually down on the burner? Or?
They are in between. The burner is kind of set up like a crow's foot, the way it winds around. And the beer can is actually sitting in between the heating element.
Okay. So the beer can gets hot and heats up the wood chips and gives you that smoke.
Right. And before, I used to use just foil that I'd make little boats out of, so to speak.
Yeah.
Put the wood chips in. And it was just simply, you didn't have to do it. If I had a big piece of wood, I'd just lay it in there. But as far as trying to clean the ashes up and keep it clean afterwards, these beer cans work out really well.
Sounds like
foil. The little foil boats I used to make, they didn't work too well because you'd have to remake them.
Right.
You know, every two or three, probably every second time you use them. I mean, you could get a couple uses out of them, but that was about it.
Yeah. Of course, they make a thing to do that with, a little square thing that has a lid on it.
Right.
That has holes in it, but you'd have to buy one of those every time because they get nasty.
And one thing, the way this thing's kind of set up, you don't want to connect or you don't want the foil or the can or the metal
to touch the burner,
two parts of this heating element. Because I guess, I don't know if it creates kind of a conductivity between the two or I don't know what it does.
Yeah, it probably would.
The owner's manual said don't, so I'm okay, I won't.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, but, the beer cans are nice because if they do kind of get nasty or grungy, just toss them and it gives you an excuse to open a new one. And
there's always another one, isn't there?
Yeah, what are you doing? Oh,
question. I've got supply of those that are for years for you if you run out.
Okay.
With these guys.
Yeah.
And I might need that special kind y'all have. Y'all got the tall boy kind.
We have the tall boy kind. We bought three cases today, as a matter of fact.
That'll hold us for a week or so, won't it?
That ought to make the show.
What
are we doing for the second half of the show?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. Pat bought a couple, I think, too. Also.
To go along with our salmon, we're going to do some sautéed mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do a baked potato in the microwave, and we're also going to do some carrots. We're going to steam some carrots in the microwave also. So it's a pretty maintenance-free, pretty easy meal that we're going
to
be
doing. You need to keep on mic. You keep kind of fading on me.
Well, I'm right here.
You're right there? We're going to talk. You and me and Tim are going to get on the phone and talk about this problem.
Yes.
We've got to solve this.
Yeah, this
is craziness.
Every time I talk to Tim, he says, you know, Dale's levels are just, you know, well, I know that, you know.
Now, you know, we recorded some shows over the break, and Cheryl was in Chicago, so she was on a phone line also.
That's what I heard.
And the levels were a lot better. They're a lot easier mixed.
Is that right?
Jimmy said.
Tell us about that show and where you can hear it. I don't think we have not mentioned that much.
We're on every Thursday at tapingfortheblind.org.
Uh-huh.
And it's Thursdays at 3 o'clock Central, 4 o'clock Eastern. I think we're on the sevens down under. You know, it's 7 and 7, because the show repeats.
Mm-hmm.
3 o'clock in the morning on Friday mornings for any early birds or what late worms that are up either way. And then I believe Dallas North Texas Radio is going to start streaming. They're supposed to start streaming sometime after the first of the year as well.
Yeah,
good.
Well, it's after the first of the year.
It's time.
It's time. But you're on Houston taping every Thursday at 3.
Every Thursday at 3. And then the show repeats Wednesdays at 3. And then it follows after those shows at 3 in the morning as well.
And it's called Taping for the Blind or Houston Taping for the
Houston
Blind?
It's Houston Taping for the Blind, but their website is www.tapingfortheblind.org.
.org.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty easy site to manipulate. You just
tap
up and tab a couple times to the listen link and click it. And
if I can do it, it's got to be easy, and I've done it. And I've done it.
If all I can get in, we can all get in.
That's what I say. But I've become a go-wave expert now. Look out. Hang on.
All right.
I've had a go-wave.
Go-wave class.
All right, so salmon and what else?
Salmon, sautéed mushrooms.
Okay.
And carrots. And
microwave
microwave baked potatoes.
Yeah.
Microwave baked potatoes.
Yeah, a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
That's the easiest way.
Well, it's too hot to heat the house up with the oven. It's in January. What is it, about 80 down there?
It's pushing 80 degrees.
We got
that
the same thing here.
Unreal.
I'm fixing to turn the air conditioner on.
Yeah.
We've had it on all weekend.
You folks in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Crazy.
It is crazy. It's just wild.
It beats shoveling snow, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down here we don't get heart attacks from shoveling snow. We get heart attacks when we see our utility bills.
That's it.
About right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not many places you have to have an AC service call in the wintertime, you know?
Yeah, really.
Really.
Pretty warm.
Yeah. Right. It's just unreal for January, man. Who would ever think it?
All right, what else?
That's what we're doing.
Is that all we're doing?
That's what we're doing.
Well, what are we going to do for this whole hour? It's all ready to go, isn't it?
Yeah, well, pretty much. We're going to go, when we take a break, we'll go out and pull the salmon off the grill and then...
kind of see what that looks like.
We'll come in and start going from there. There's some different things we can do with the salmon and some different hints for baked potatoes.
All right.
You want to use the microwave or you want to use the regular conventional oven or...
My wife says she can taste the difference.
Yeah, you really can.
Can you?
You really can. There is a certain, a little crispiness, I guess, to the potato that you lose in the microwave.
When you take yours out of the microwave, we can get into that later, do you wrap it in foil?
No.
And let it. See, Emily does, my wife does, and I can't tell you. Now, she'll do the potatoes as soon as they come out of the microwave. She wraps them in foil, and it saves the heat, and unless you've kind of overcooked them where the skin is noticeable, I can't tell the difference.
Really? Now, a lot of people have said that when they can tell the difference between one that's been baked in a microwave and baked in the oven simply because of the texture of the skin of the potato.
Yeah.
Now, something my grandmother used to do when she would do the potatoes is she would boil them first for about 15 or 20 minutes.
I've heard of that.
And then pull them out and then bake them in the oven.
Yeah.
And it would cut the baking time down tremendously because they're pretty much already, if you boil them for 15 or 20 minutes, they're pretty well cooked inside.
I have done that in reverse. If I like potatoes boiled with the jackets, I have microwaved them for about 4 minutes and then throw them in the pot of water.
Well, and see, we do sweet potato pies every Christmas, and Luann this year, let's see, what did she do? She baked the potatoes and then boiled them and then cut them up for the pie, and that's supposed to be better for some reason.
Wow.
So,
That's pretty cool. Sweet potatoes, we just microwave them.
Yeah.
And I kind of like them that way a little bit better than cooked in the oven, than baked in the oven.
Well,
it's all personal preference.
She baked these and then boiled them and then cut them up for the pie. And I don't know if the pies were any better, but I ate every bit they offered me.
Right.
I love sweet potato pie. I wish we could have it more often.
Now, how about peeling the potatoes?
For the pie?
Peel them? You like them with peels on?
You talking about sweet potatoes?
Baked potatoes.
Baked potatoes?
Or let's say you're doing mashed potatoes.
Man, I just eat peelings and all.
Yeah.
Well, in mashed potatoes, you know, the most of the time people peel them, but then Emily did a recipe. There's a thing for one of the holiday meals, I guess Christmas, where the new potatoes, where you cook them with the peelings on and then mash them kind of.
Yeah.
It reminded me of old-timey mash, but where you didn't have a mixer, you have the masher.
There was more of a coarse mash, not like a whipped or a...
Right.
I guess, yeah, I like a whipped mashed potato.
I like
better.
I like the peelings on any kind of potato with the exception of fried potato. I have fried potatoes with the peeling on it, and I don't care for that.
Yeah. Now, like you were just mentioning, like red potatoes. If I cook red potatoes, I don't peel them.
Not very often.
I just chop them up and go. You know, if they're big, I cut them up. If they're smaller, then I just leave them whole.
Unless you're doing green beans and new potatoes, then you peel them.
Yeah. Now, like russets, I'll usually peel those. Now, sometimes we'll do mashed potatoes with the peel on. But if I'm using like a white potato or a Yukon Gold or something like that, I'll just leave the peels on and.
Those Yukon Gold are great.
Oh, they're awesome.
But don't they say that the nourishment, most of the vitamins are in the peel?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's with ever like fruits, like apples.
Yeah, that was what the big thing about when juicing became such a big fad.
Right.
A decade or so ago.
It's been a while.
It did away with the peeling and kept the, and juiced everything else, or did it? Juiced out of everything, right?
Yeah, you just seeds, core,
right.
The whole nine yards, you ran it through that crazy juicer.
But,
and I don't know, I had a roommate that got into that for a while, and it was crazy. I mean, he'd come in from the farmer's market with cases of stuff.
Yeah.
So what are we doing today? Oh, Lord, here we go again. But one thing that was ironic was everything that we made had apples in it. Apple was like the natural sweetener.
Yeah.
I mean, we made this thing called Liver Mover, and basically it was like half a beet and like five apples. And it was, I mean, you talk about getting your B12.
Man.
Golly, you were up buzzing around ready to go, and then,
Liver Mover.
You better find a toilet.
All right. Well, with that piece of advice, kids, we'll take a little short break and go get the salmon. Be back in a minute with more of the little show called Cooking in the Dark. Hang on.
Serve.
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my can caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your can is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping the big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at blindmysmart.com?
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
This is the Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
Yeah, Mr. Dale, and salmon today.
Salmon. Smoked salmon.
Yeah, what a deal.
It's so nice out here that, goodness gracious, give me some suntan lotion. I'll just hang out here and finish the show outside today.
Yeah, might as well.
True.
It is gorgeous out here.
Isn't it? January weather, man. Who would ever think it?
Well, we thought about just turning you loose, Dale, just getting you latched in and then us going outside and checking on you every 20 minutes.
Well, we could we could listen to you from out there. So you turn the speakers on out there. We could sit out there and listen. We couldn't talk to you, but we could
hear what was going on, huh?
Yeah, we could hear what you were doing.
Yeah.
Boy, you'd have had to have more on the menu than just salmon to cover that hour.
That's right. Well, we could have whipped something else.
Oh, you could have. All right, how does it look?
Salmon is coming out great.
How can you tell?
It kind of flakes when you hit it with a fork.
Okay.
And, again, one thing, you know, every time we'd use the smoker, we talk about it, but the smoker's kind of forgiving because it does cook at a lower temperature.
Yes, it does.
So if you leave it on an extra 15 minutes or 30 minutes, it usually doesn't really do anything to impede or ruin your meat.
Yeah.
Or whatever you're cooking, smoking.
You going to cook burgers out tonight, Pat?
Yes.
Burgers at your house, huh?
On your new gas grill.
I think
I'm
going to get some hamburger meat and come over.
All right. Well, tell them the thing. By golly, do it. I'm going to try the grilled potatoes and
he's got a new gas grill, Pat does.
I got a new gas grill. So.
And it is so pretty. I mean, it's just so nice outside. It's just, I don't, you know, you just want to cook outside.
I mean, this is April weather.
Well,
yeah.
You know,
it is,
believe it,
sure
it or not, I'm not a great chef of any kind, but I cook out probably more than the average guy. I charcoal something at least two nights a week, something. So.
And you know, I mean, gosh, down here too, it just keeps your house cool.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when you cook inside, golly, you just really, man, anyway.
Yeah.
It's just so bloody hot all the time.
Yeah, all those folks in Pennsylvania aren't even appreciating our talking. Or what we're
they've got their snow plows
warming up a bit.
Yeah, David Farron and folks like that, Boop, and all those folks in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, we were doing a show with, you know, Tim and them are in Boston. And
yeah.
They're all covered up. I mean, the refrigerator was out. They had stuff out on their fire escape.
Man, because their fridge is out.
Cool enough to keep it good. And I'm down here, like, you know, sweating.
Yeah. Well, you're also eating. What are you eating, salmon?
Some of the salmon. Y'all.
Oh, well.
I figure y'all are drinking. I'm eating.
You can.
Yeah, what a deal.
This came out really great. These are little, like, six-ounce fillets. So they're basically like one big fillet that's been sliced down in, I guess, smaller pieces, if you want to call it that.
And your market sliced them, or you did it, or what?
I did it.
Okay.
Yeah, I did. I just bought one big piece and then cut them down.
Yeah.
So I'm saying they're 6 ounces each. They fill about 6 ounces.
Yeah, somewhere more or less.
They're all the same size. I cut them down all the same size.
That one you ate was about 6 ounces, right?
Yeah, that was a
How does it taste? Does it have a smoky flavor?
Yes, it does.
Really?
Yes, it does. And it just kind of almost just falls right off the skin.
Really?
So one thing you could do from here if you wanted is, after you've smoked these, is clean your meat out. Just basically pull the meat. The meat will fall right off the skin.
Sure.
And mix it up with some cream cheese, little green onion slice up and put in there, you know, some chives or whatnot, and make you a little pate.
Make you make a little dip?
Yeah. Make a little salmon, smoked salmon dip.
Yeah, you could. You're going to serve these for supper, though. This is supper.
If they get home in time.
If they don't, they're gone, huh?
Yeah, if they get home in time. Janice just called me from work, in fact, saying, man, you know.
Has school started back yet?
For her it has, but for Skylar it hasn't.
Skylar's home with you.
Skylar's off, yeah. She's off running around with Grandpa today.
Oh, is she?
She got him to take her to the dollar store.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So
she's going to come home with all manner of goodies.
All kinds of stuff we don't need.
I would.
Yeah.
As if she doesn't have enough already after Christmas, you know.
How old is she? 12?
Yeah.
13? How old is she?
She will be 12 in April.
Is that right?
So she's right on that cusp, you know, of growing up and being a fine young lady. And
being a teenager.
Still time she's a little girl.
Yeah, so, well, that's good. That's
so
that's not a bad age for kids, really, when you think about it.
No, not at all. She's, you know, she learned this year about Santa Claus, and she wasn't wanting to give it up because she was afraid Santa wouldn't come.
Yeah, he wouldn't get as many presents.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah. All you got to do is keep believing, you know.
We've been through that.
Santa Claus.
Yeah, Don, your girls are about the same age, I guess, right?
This year with Hadley, we went through the same deal. We knew that this year she was kind of faking the whole thing just to be able to get a few more.
She figured she didn't get any presents.
That's right.
Case,
yeah.
Yeah.
And she had kind of, Skylar kind of hinted at it, but we weren't saying anything because we didn't want to give it up. We wanted to know you need to be the one that makes the first step.
Yeah.
It.
Yeah.
So she she finally, after Christmas, after Santa Claus brought her her skateboard, then she fessed up.
Yeah, I remember learning. I think I learned it a lot early. Of course, at the blind school, you had all those other kids, you know, that were around you all the time that were telling you.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember, you know, there's no Santa Claus. I just couldn't believe it. But if you, you know, if you lied to them about
I mean, half of them, I mean, what did you think? I mean, you know, kids hear stories all the time about stuff.
Yeah.
And some of them just say stuff to be mean just to throw you, you know.
You can't mean it.
Football, so to speak.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I remember... In fact, what busted it for me was, I was a snooper as a kid, and I found my BB gun, you know, hidden in a closet.
That Santa Claus was going to bring you.
You know, it came from Santa Claus. I was probably, in fourth grade.
Yeah. They were 10.
They lowered the boom on me and told me, and I was like, oh, I was all upset. I figured, you know, I'm not going to be getting anything.
Well, you lied to him about Santa Claus. You lied to him about the Easter Bunny. You lied to him about the 4th of July. I bet there's no God either.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, that's the problem.
Now.
Huh?
But, yeah, it's just one of them things, you know?
Phil.
Growing up. But it's fun. Phil. I think, you know, it was fun for us as parents growing up.
Yeah.
I remember one Christmas we laid little chocolate, you know, those little foil-wrapped chocolates.
Yeah.
We laid those from Skylar's door in a trail all around through the house, and every so often we'd put a little present and, you know, and led it all the way to the stocking and her gifts from Santa Claus and all that stuff. It's fun.
And it was great fun to watch her.
This sounds like Fox News, Tom. Getting a real heated discussion here.
Yeah. Hey, okay, let's change the channel back to cooking.
Let's get back to cooking. All right.
Yeah, what I'm doing right now, y'all, is just peeling some carrots up to steam in the microwave.
Well, they're good for your eyes, you know.
They sure are.
Yeah.
Yeah, they always made Marlene, my sister, eat her carrots. They never cared whether I ate mine or not.
Yeah, it didn't make a damn, did it?
Right. I've got another theory for my eyesight, which makes mine better, but we can't discuss it on
this. I think you did it on New Year's Eve.
Yes, we did.
Made your eyes a whole lot better. Anyway, go ahead.
Clearly, even in the fog. Yeah, we're out there in that fog, and everybody's like, gosh, we can't see anything. I go, man, listen, this big explosion. Oh, that was a red one. Oh, that was a green one, you know.
Yeah.
Messing with them. I think a couple people actually thought I could tell the difference.
Probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're
guessing, man. Keep them bluffing.
Yeah.
We're cutting up carrots.
Carrots is once we get them all peeled, let me slice them down here. I've already peeled some of them before the show started just to make sure we've got time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get my handy chopping mat here. And now, Santa Claus did bring us a new KitchenAid countertop mixer.
Mm-hmm.
And also brought us a new set of knives, which are super nice for chopping and slicing and whatnot.
Yeah, I need a good set of knives around the old kitchen.
Yeah, some that are nice and heavy and sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got one set, and that's it. It's about 10 different knives in it. It has a wonderful bread knife. Long.
Really?
Must be a foot long. Huge bread knife that really makes a difference.
Wow.
You know, I don't know what difference it makes, but it's called a bread knife, and it'll slice a loaf of... Because we like to buy unsliced...
You know, a lot of times those bread knives have a little, like, a serrated edge on them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they do cut a little bit easier.
This one does, because back before I decided I couldn't do it, we used to go to Albertson's and buy a big round loaf of bread, great big dome of bread.
Uh-huh.
And slice that. Oh, man.
Dale, speaking of countertop mixers, I have my mother's stainless steel Sunbeam mixer from back in the 50s, all metal bowls.
Whoa.
And it still works.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, these mixers, they'll last forever.
Yes,
yeah.
This
you
one
know,
is.
It's not uncommon for these things to be 40, 50 years old. I remember on the list there was a discussion about some of the mixers now, I guess the heads had changed to where most of the old stand mixers, the heads would just flip straight back.
Yeah, mine will.
Flip up, and everything was out of the way. You could get to your bowl and all that.
Yeah.
Now, I guess some of the newer models, and I don't know if it's specific to one brand or not, but I've heard it on Hamilton Beach products and also some of the KitchenAid models. The bowl actually raises up to the beater.
Okay.
How it does it, I don't know. But
how would that be an improvement?
See, this one's got the old flip top on it.
I told you about.
It would be a bigger hassle.
I told you about dropping my glass mixer bowl, right?
No.
Oh, man. I reached up in the cabinet to get something and just pulled it out, and it sounded like a car wreck.
Oh, man.
I just called Penny and had her come over. And said, there wasn't any point in me trying to clean it up. There wasn't anything I could do.
Yeah, because that kind of glass probably slivers. Oh, into
man, it hands. took her yeah. 20 minutes to get it up. But it was a huge bowl, big mixer, biggest, nice big mixer, big bowl. This wasn't the little bowl. This was the big one. We've still got the little one.
Right.
Speaking of mixers, too, this one I'm telling you about, the old one, it also makes a hand, you can take it off its stand. I don't know if the other one.
That is cool.
Yeah, it is a heavy hand mixer, but you can actually remove it from its stand. And I think
this is the stand mixer. It's a stand mixer. That's it. And the little hand mixer that has served us so well over all these shows finally bit the dust.
Yeah, those don't cost much, and they're not, they're not very heavy duty.
No, in fact, we've still got another one that was a wedding gift, I think, somewhere still boxed up that we didn't even open up.
I had a little chopper, a little food processor one time. It did one thing. It had one blade, and it was great for onions. and I don't know where it's happened. I guess it finally wore out.
Onion soup.
Now, speaking of chopping onions, a lady on our list, Darlene Smith, wrote in to me, and she's a Texas girl, lives down in Freeport, her and her husband, and she ordered from QVC a thing called the Genius Onion Slicer, and apparently I ordered one of these gadgets in, got it, and the thing was dirtier than heck. It had been used and returned, and it was nasty. Candace really? Had a heart attack when we opened it up.
Whoa.
But the way this little gadget is, basically you slice your onion in half, peel it, slice it in half, put it on this little contraption, and just push it down through the blades. And it chops it into, quarter-inch pieces.
Just slices it into thin slices.
Actually, it chops it. It cuts, it slices and dices it.
Really?
How it does it, I don't know. It's wild. But you just snap it shut, boom, it chops it, dices it, and puts it into and it saves it in, a little plastic cup.
But they sent you the one that had been returned.
A used onion slice. What a deal. That's wild.
I love it.
They're messing with the blind guy. That's how come I got this one.
That's right. He's blind. Man, guy.
And the heck of it is, if Candace wouldn't have been here with me, I would have never known.
Really?
Because I couldn't see. I pulled it out of the plastic. It was in a plastic bag all sealed and everything.
That's wild.
That very thing has happened to me twice from Sears. They sent me a microwave over the stove microwave that it was dirty, greasy. It had been sent, returned. And so then, here not too long ago, I bought a shop vac. And all the parts were missing and no manual. And the box had old, so I take it back and the guy goes, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And so they gave me a new one.
That's wild.
Yeah.
The used
shop vac. We wondered what happened to that one.
Really?
Golly.
So was the new gas grill you got for Christmas, Patterson?
Brand new.
That's
brand spanking.
Get Emily on the cell phone. Tell her to go buy another pound of hamburger meat.
Yeah, where's your gas grill been?
Now, my gas grill was brand spanking.
he got one for Christmas.
Some assembly required, was it?
Wing nuts, no tools.
Really?
All right.
Absolutely
that's
no
cool.
tools.
So you're going to love that, man.
It still took me 2 days. And
that's
going to
be.
There's a lot of pieces in that crazy thing.
Yeah, there are. I haven't done it in a long time, but.
Well, it helps if you start out on a good foot, and I started out putting the bottom shelf on upside down, as blind guys are wont to do, and I didn't understand why my idea wasn't as good as theirs.
Somebody turn that damn manual over so you can read it.
That's right.
But it is done. It is put together.
It is finished and honking on.
All right.
Cool. That's good.
Did you have Emily check it out first? Hey, baby, you want to go like this?
No, sir. She is not. I am I am the handyman resident in chief. I don't have to compete with her for any task like that. It's all mine.
I tried to get Candace to go out and when we got that turkey fryer, we put it all together. I tried to get her to go out and light it, but she wasn't playing that.
Did you fry a turkey this year?
Yes, we did.
How did it come out?
It was absolutely delicious.
You bought a turkey fryer?
Yes. Actually, my neighbors gave me one for my birthday.
Really?
Really.
So, a week after that, we tried it out. We had, a 14-pound bird we put in that dude. And it took just about 50 minutes to fry.
I was going to say, can't you really, that's pretty blind friendly in a sense. I watched some guys frying one this holiday.
The one aspect of this that when you, two safety tips if you're going to use a fryer. One, put water in it first and then put your bird in it so you'll know how much oil to put in it.
Right.
So you'll know what level, you know.
Okay, so you're saying put water in it, then put the bird down in there and keep putting water in until you know.
Until it covers it, and then take the bird out, and then you'll kind of know what level to put your oil.
Get rid of the water, dry the thing, and then put the oil in.
Right.
Good thinking, sir.
Hey, all right.
The second thing is the hardest part, I think, is getting it up to temperature. Because you need to fry it at about 350 degrees.
Yeah,
and you need a thermometer, which I use that Braille candy thermometer that we have.
Yeah,
you know, and that goes up to 400 degrees. But I use that to monitor to get the temperature up. And once it got up to temperature, then we put the bird in. But it comes with a real nice thermometer. But it's of course for the sighted folks.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, it's got a glass cover on it. But and then the only other thing is when you're putting the bird in, just be real careful putting it in.
Very slow.
Real slowly, because even, I mean, it really starts cracking and popping when the moisture of the bird.
Well, these guys had this on something like where they could lift it up. It was like a metal.
Yeah, this, and with the fryer itself, it comes with a, I guess, a stand, if you want to call it that.
Well, I mean, this was like that they could pull the turkey up. I mean, they could grab this metal thing with their tongues.
Thinner,
and
it's got a piece of, like a piece of bar
that
comes up in the middle, and it's a flat disc on the bottom that has holes in it, of course, so the oil will go through.
Right.
Yeah.
And it comes up through the bird.
Yeah.
You get a little handle with a hook on it.
Right.
And that's what you hook it right into that loop of that piece of that metal bar going up, like a loop in the top of it. Hook it, and you just lower it right in the oil.
I thought if a guy had a little electric winch, you know, he could sit over there and whip
but
it up.
Really,
whip them in and out.
All these turkey fryers are good for is frying a turkey.
No.
French fries.
You can do French fries. You can do shrimp. You can do all kinds of stuff. The one that I got, they got at Northern, was it northerntool.com.
I don't know.
And I went and checked it out, and at that website, they've got different size pots you can buy for these fryers. They've got the colanders you can put inside the baskets, you know, as well as, I mean, you could fry turkeys in them, you could fry shrimp in them, you can fry french fries.
Yeah.
You can do all kinds of stuff.
Or could you use it as a crawfish or shrimp boiler?
You could.
Yeah, now that would that'd be
put
neat.
Put water in it and heat it right up and boil it. The way it's made on the stand. It has like a little side apron on it that kind of fits up around the edge of the pot, so to speak. It kind of comes up about 3 or 4 inches on the side of the pot. So it does help to keep all that heat coming up and around the pot instead of just being an open burner underneath the fire coming up and some of the heat dissipating off to the sides. It really funnels the heat up past the pot.
Now, this is
that makes sense.
This is your butane operated propane or whatever?
Yeah, propane. This runs on your standard, you know, your standard propane gas.
Well, I've never seen one.
It was like $60, I think, is all it was.
Well, Phil, what was John Toole using New Year's Eve?
He was using a fish cooker in a big pot. He was frying, chicken frying, deer meat.
Oh.
And I don't want to say this, but I can't say it, because what if she heard it? She would never bring me any more. But it's the best I've ever had.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell it from just good beefsteak frying.
But he just started out with a burner, and then y'all had the pot.
He had a pot. I have a pot. He has a pot a little bigger than mine.
Yeah, the one we use on Blind Weekend.
He had one a little bigger than that.
Okay.
I don't think his is cast iron. I don't know what his is.
I think this pot here is just like a heavy aluminum.
I think that's what his was. And he just had it sitting on a fish cooker.
I bet you could have done your deer meat in this cooker.
We did it right. We looked up how long you're supposed to fry a pound piece of deer meat. And so we did it absolutely.
He timed it. Perfect.
He timed it by the book. And it was the best I've ever had. That was my New Year's Eve. I got drunk anyway, even though I ate all that deer meat. nothing was going to prevent the blind man from, you know.
You got intoxicated off of the deer meat.
Deer meat, that's it.
Right on.
Do I hear music?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back to discuss more recipes and cooking and things of that nature with Dale Campbell in Cooking in the Dark. Hang on just a minute. Be back in a second.
The music is playing. I remember that day.
Blind Handyman List serve?
The thing I like the best about the Blind Handyman List, great place to exchange information and gather ideas on anything to do with being a handyman around the house.
I found out how to fix my garbage disposal on the Handyman List. And it works.
If you'd like to join the Blind Handyman List, send a blank email to blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com.
The thing I like about the Blind Handyman List, I'm the moderator, and I can delete you if I want to. So don't get out of line. Stay on topic.
That's blindhandyman-subscribe@yahoogroups.com. A trip to Walmart.
I wonder where the pharmacy is. It's somewhere over here. Oh, God, I've got my cane caught in something.
Pardon me, sir. I don't know how to tell you this, but the end of your cane is stuck in my...
Why bother shopping their big discount stores when you can shop from the comfort of your own home at BlindMySmart.com.
Hi, this is Dale Campbell, president of Blind My Smart. If you can't find what you're looking for today, check back tomorrow. We're adding new products every day.
Blind My Smart, with thousands of products at a completely accessible website. Our address is blindmysmart.com. Again, that's www.blindmysmart.com.
Repair our broken love to make us one again. Suddenly we part as friends, just for tonight.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, we're talking about all kinds of things today. We've been talking about cooking deer meat and frying turkeys and all those things. This
kinda
frying...
kind of takes our meal and makes it seem not that good.
Well, I'd like to try that smoked salmon. I'm going to have to...
Yeah.
But frying in oil is something that scares a lot of blind people. They're doing... You know, you've got a big thing, you've got a big cauldron of oil, and it's hot. And so, what a lot of blind people don't realize is that if you're doing potatoes, you're doing them in a basket. In other words, you fill the basket with potatoes, and then you put the basket down in there, and you leave the basket, I don't know, a minute and a half, and if the oil's the right temperature, you got French fries.
Yes. That's the key is, I mean, we can cook the same. I mean, we can do the same cooking techniques that any sighted person can do.
Yeah.
We just have to do it a little bit differently.
And if you do them a minute and a half, and you pour them out in a bowl, and you eat a few, and you think those aren't done enough, we'll just do it a minute 45 or 2 minutes next.
Yeah.
Next time, until you figure out.
Pull a couple out. One thing that's great at, like with shrimp and such, you can always tell when shrimp are done boiling or frying because they'll float.
Yeah, but you can't see that.
Well, but. Oh, but you could take if you have like a spoon or a wooden spoon or a spatula. Or
a little paddle.
And hit the, touch the top of the water.
Right. Or you can get this new kitchen grip oven mitt that we are now selling at Blind My Smart.
And reach down in there.
Waterproof.
Waterproof. Grease.
To work that in there.
Now, where could you...
a new little mitt, and they've actually... The old kitchen grips were sewn... stitches were sewn on the outside.
Yeah.
What they've done is flipped it and reversed it and sewed it inside, so it's just like a shirt or something. The seam is on the inside.
Really?
And they dip this mitt in some sort of waterproof solution. And now I haven't used it in hot grease, but I've used it in a boiling pot here.
Dip Cecil in hot grease.
Just to see if they would try it out before I ship them out to all the blind folks.
And so you can actually buy these at...
Shame on you.
That's my smart, can you?
Yeah.
That would be the location.
I saw one if you all want to do a live test.
Where
you'd stick their hand in some boiling water with it.
You'd find those. Well, I would.
An on-the-air test, huh?
I would in a heartbeat to see, you know? See, water and burners and stuff, you can, if you're cooking in a skillet, as you well know, if you're cooking bacon or sausage in grease, you may get a little tingle, but you're not, if you don't, unless you stick your hand in there and leave it, you're not going to get hurt.
No. And this one gentleman, Ricky, I think was his name on the cooking list, came in with a great tip. He keeps a little, like, cup of ice water.
Yeah, stick his finger in.
and he sticks his fingers in it when he needs to go and touch something or feel something in the, you know, on the skillet or in it or something. He'll put his hands in the water, and then, you know, it helps keep him from getting burned.
I've got this egg cooker. It's called a Henrietta. Have you seen one?
No.
It's a Henrietta. It'll boil 7 eggs at a time. It doesn't actually boil them. The water is below the eggs. You fill this little thing, dispenser, with water.
Poached.
And then you, these are actually boiled eggs.
Really? Okay.
And you punch a little hole in the end of the egg, put the hole upright, and then you put the lid on. In about 15 minutes, you've got 7 boiled eggs.
Wow.
So you take the lid off, and I always put the eggs in cold water when I get them out. I don't know why I do that. I guess because my mother did.
Yeah.
But I make up a pan of ice water, and I dip my hand in the ice water and reach over and get an egg, and dip my hand in the ice water and get another egg, and so I don't burn my hand when I'm doing that.
Right.
The eggs. It's called a Henrietta. You can order these things. I've got one. I think John Conley has one.
I'll have to check that out.
When the water's gone, it whistles.
Okay.
So you know the eggs are done.
All right. So
you don't have those at Blind
Water and steams them, or
you don't have those at Blind Mice Mart?
No, but we need them.
We do.
Yeah.
I saw somebody on TV talking about boiling eggs, and they said the perfect boiled egg is you put them in the pan. Okay, they're covered with water.
Uh-huh.
You bring them to a boil, then cut the burner off.
Right.
And then after they cool, they're perfect.
Well, you can have 1-minute eggs or 2-minute eggs.
Yeah.
That's I think that's the way they do it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we had some discussions on the list about the boiled eggs, and that method that you just described, Mr. Houston, was perfect.
Yeah.
That's the best way. And now another method was to have the water boiling and then put your eggs in, boil them for 5 minutes, take them off the heat, cover them, and leave them covered for 5 or 10 minutes.
That's the way I always did it. To get the water boiling first, then put the eggs in.
But both methods work perfectly.
I think, you know, really what we're talking about here too, Dale, is any deep fryers or whatever, is having the right temperature and the right time. You can cook anything perfectly if you know how hot your grease is and how long it takes to cook a French fry. I mean, that's painless.
Exactly.
You know, if you know it's going to take 3 minutes and they're to your liking, then if your grease is bubbly, or, you know, when you put the fries in, and then that's perfect.
Yeah, well, like with breakfast for me, it's called Poor Folks. But it's already pre-cut sausage.
The sausage, I use it. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've learned that if I put just a little bit of, like, maybe, I don't know how much water, just a little bit of water in the bottom of the pan.
Just a touch.
I can lay 4 of those sausages in my small little omelet skillet, cover it, turn the heat on, and I cook them for 5 minutes on each side. And they're done, covered, you know.
Yep.
So I cover it 5 minutes, uncover it, flip them, 5 minutes covered, take them off, then I break 2 or 3 eggs in that same pan, you know, take the sausage out in that same pan, break 2 or 3 eggs, cover them, and cook them for 2 minutes, and breakfast is done.
Use that wonderful...
Exactly right. It's about just knowing, I mean, that time constraint, that's the biggest thing.
Using that wonderful grease that you did those sausages. All those sausages.
Well, and if I don't want to do eggs, with that extra little water in the grease, it helps to steam them.
It does.
And it does save some of the grease and such, but at the same time, throw a little flour in there and add a little milk and boom.
You got gravy.
I like to cook bacon on like a griddle, you know, a grill.
Right.
And if you have the weight that goes on the top of it, like you use in a restaurant, you can time that. You can, if your grill is the proper, you lay your 4 strips of bacon, that's what you want for breakfast. You put your weight on it, you cook it on that side, you flip it over and put the weight back on it, and then you're done. I mean, however long it takes, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, you know.
Yeah, and it's all about adding crispiness and everything else.
Yeah, and it's not you pick them up with one move, you know, with one spatula, all 4 slices, and it's...
Well, you won't do that if you're totally blind. You won't pick them up with all one spatula.
Well, you could learn.
You might.
No, you could learn that with the way you lay them out.
I've been blind a long time, and you won't do that with one. You may do it, but you'd be better off with a fork, actually. If you're totally blind, you'd be better getting them with a fork. Because if on a grill, you're liable to scoot them off in the floor.
And then the dog's happy.
And then the dog's very happy.
Yeah.
Dog gets, but it can be. It,
you know, and what you mentioned there, Don, is perfect. I mean, just like microwave, somebody on the list the other day posted a note wanting to know, like, microwave directions.
Yeah.
What temperature or what wattage rating are they written for? Because back when I was selling them, the highest rated microwave we had was 750 watts. And then something changed about how you could report or how the wattage of a microwave could be figured. So now all of a sudden you've got, you know, 1,200, 1,300, 1,000, 1,100, yep. all these different wattage microwaves.
We just bought a 12 here two months ago, 1,200
right.
watt.
What did you have before, do you know?
Oh, God, 600 or 700.
Okay. Have you noticed a difference in cook time?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So they're more powerful now than they were?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No question about that.
And it's basically what you have to do is relearn how to cook.
Yeah,
you
just have to retime. It's uh-huh. not, yeah, it's
well,
not.
Well, just like these carrots yeah. that I just prepared here. In this little microwave casserole dish that we used to make them in at the old house, in the old cooking in the dark studio.
Yeah. yeah.
It took almost 7 minutes to do them.
Yeah.
In this new microwave, it takes about 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just simply that wattage. But you've got to learn your wattage power.
That's it.
Now, we did some microwave peanut butter fudge. And at the other house, the times that were prescribed by the recipe were perfect, and it came out great. Here it came out overcooked, and it's just simply I didn't adjust the time.
Well, I know, you know, especially sometimes in your cooking thing, too, you talk about, yeah, I mean, obviously you're preparing meals, or I assume, for you and your daughter and your wife.
Right.
So that's three. Well, there's only two of us most of the time, but I kind of cook for three.
Yeah.
And so, you know, well, you cook the extra serving in our microwave, our mix, like corn. I want to cook corn. I have a little container that makes about three really good servings, especially even if you wanted a little extra. And on the mixed veggies, about 5 minutes on high, and I cover it, and it's perfect.
And it's all about figuring that time out.
Yeah.
But see, you do something I do, too. When I cook, even if I'm just cooking for the three of us, or even if it's just Candace and I make extra portions.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe if there's four pork chops, I'll make, you know, or whatever. I'll do them all. And the same if you're by yourself or living, you know, just two of you or one of you. If you're going to cook, you may as well cook enough and have some left over.
Well, you cannot cook a pot of beans for one person.
No.
You know, you can't. I mean, just forget it. True. Cook the pot of beans.
Even like a can of corn nowadays or green beans or anything you make, it's usually two servings.
And I love pintos, but I've discovered something I think I like even better, and that is it's called 7-bean soup, or maybe it's 12-bean soup.
Yeah.
Yes.
12, maybe it's 12-bean soup. Anyway, it has lots of different kinds of beans, and has a little package of seasoning in there.
Yep.
That you dump in, and you add a little pepper to that, and bingo, you don't have to worry about seasoning your beans.
It really is.
I did that Sunday. It took about 2 hours. It cooked a good pot of beans. In fact, we're having leftovers tonight.
We're going to your house. I forgot.
Did you soak them overnight?
I did not soak them overnight. I just rinsed them real good and brought them to a boil. I rinsed them real good in a colander, brought them to a boil, then turned them off and left them 30 minutes, and then turned them back on, brought them to a boil, and turned them down real low, and it took about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours, and they were done, ready to... Oh, man.
Good. Oh, man.
All right.
Great.
Now, I've just done something here to our carrots, y'all.
All right.
We've got the mushrooms. What I did for the sautéed mushrooms, everybody... Very simple. I bought a pint of white mushrooms at the grocery store, washed them, put them in a pot, put in a clove of garlic, about a quarter of a stick of butter.
Yep.
And once that started to kind of heat up, then I added about a half a cup of wine and just simply covered them, put them on low, and they're at the back of the stove.
And they're still there right now.
All you can do, just let them go.
Okay.
Covered. And... that wine, as it cooks, you know, don't be worrying about kids eating these or not, because the alcohol will cook out of the wine. It's just there to flavor the mushrooms. But that's all there is to it. Very quick, very easy, and very simple.
So mushrooms, carrots, and salmon is what we're having for supper tonight.
Yeah, that's it.
That's pretty much it.
Baked potato fixing to happen, maybe if we have time. But
baked potato fixing to happen.
After I microwave the carrots,
okay.
I've added about a tablespoon of honey to the carrots while they're still hot.
Okay.
And I'm just going to put the lid back on and just kind of swish them around a little bit.
All right, we were going to talk about potatoes. You better hurry, because we got off on tangents here.
We're all over the place today.
Well, we were, but that's all right. We talked about a lot of good information that blind people need to know, you know?
Yeah, and basically, for microwaving the potato, what I do with my microwave, what I've learned to do is I'll microwave it for 4 minutes. Now, this is a pretty good-sized baked potato.
Yeah.
Or a sweet potato the same way. I'll microwave it on high for just about 4 minutes.
Okay.
And then I'll pull it out. After it goes off, I'll pull it out and flip it over. Because bottom side cooks more than the top side.
Yeah.
I'll flip it over and cook it for about another 2 minutes.
Now, do you punch holes in it when you put the fork?
No, I don't punch holes in it.
You don't do anything before you put it in the microwave?
No. I just
really?
Simply toss it in the microwave. And I tell you what, I like that idea of wrapping it up with foil afterwards.
Probably a good idea.
It simulates, it saves all that heat that's inside that potato. And I'd never heard of that before, but that's the way she does it.
That's the way she does it.
Cooking a turkey in a microwave, call for it after you get done. And the same when you cook it in the turkey fryer. You pull it out and you wrap it in foil.
Well.
And what that does, like you just said, all the heat that's inside it, you trap it inside in the foil, and it helps to finish cooking it through.
If you were cooking baked potatoes in a normal conventional oven, would you punch holes with a fork then in them?
Yeah, I would punch holes in it then.
But in the microwave, you don't.
In the microwave, I don't.
And they don't explode.
No, I've never had one.
No, I've punched holes in them to cook them in the microwave, but also in a conventional oven, you wrap them in foil before you put them in there, right? I mean.
Yeah. Now, if I put them on the grill or the smoker too, I'll wrap them in.
Yeah.
Now, in the microwave, just one more question: you put a wet paper towel over them?
No.
All right. Well, don't tell my wife that because she does.
Okay.
She doesn't know anything.
And it's just like everything else. I mean, there's so many different. You know, how do you fry an egg? Well, I do this. Or how do you boil an egg? Well, I mean, everybody's got their. You know.
Yeah.
What was really cool was you telling me that you put them in cold water after they come off. I do that too.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, put them
now
in cold water.
I couldn't tell you why.
My mother did it.
Yeah,
Hell, it's got to be the right way. Luann, I'll tell you a funny story about cooking rice about Luann's mother someday. We don't have time. Dale, thank you, sir.
Hey, you're very welcome.
I'm sorry we got off on all kind of things, but I think we
went everywhere today, but it's good. It was good information.
Stuff. We dispensed some good information, I think.
Hopefully I'll be seeing y'all in a month or so.
I think so. Yeah. We'll talk about that. Hopefully
you will.
All right. You know Susie's coming, right?
Yes. I heard that.
Susie and Tim and Cheryl.
If you knew Susie like I know Susie. Oh, what a gal.
All right, fellas. Hey, y'all take it slow and easy, and we'll see you in February.
Thank you, Cheryl.
All right.
Thank you, Don Shaw. Thank you, Don Patterson.
Yes, sir.
And as always, our engineer, Tom Houston.
Hey.
All right. Our board engineer.
Boy, I'm telling you.
He's running the board. Thanks, sir. I'm Phil Parsis, the blind man. He picked up his hammer and saw. Bye-bye.
Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.